Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor, Doctor, Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me what's ailing me?
Doctor,
you said,
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a good day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We got a great show. Frank, you ready? Oh, Frank was born ready. All right, we got a great show. First part of the show, we are going to be talking about your brain a little bit. Title of the subject is Brain Matter. So interesting stuff we dug up, so we're going to talk about that and some other things. And we had a quack report. We do have a quack report, but before we get to that, our big devotional, you know, I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time. I'm hitting the knees, you know, because time grows short. So God is the way. Jesus is the way to the holy, righteous kingdom of God. You don't want to miss out on that. So today's devotional puts us in Proverbs 10, where it says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Yeah, wisdom and discernment. That's what we should be praying for. And when you have wisdom and discernment, what do you do with that? You judge everything. You're supposed to, right? Yep. Read your scripture. It'll set you free. That's right. The truth will set you free. That means when you stand before God, you will be found blameless. That's what that means. So seek the Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short, because the invitation has an expiration date. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, a chemical company feared their weed killer is linked to causing Parkinson's disease. This is a Swiss chemical giant called Syngenta. They manufacture a wide variety of chemicals, including weed-killing chemicals. And this one, particular one, is called Paraquat. And apparently some internal communiques were discovered. Syngenta repeatedly has told the public and regulators and the scientific research that they've done proves there's no connection between their weed killer and any disease, and they insisted the chemical does not readily cross the blood-brain barrier and does not affect the brain cells in ways that cause Parkinson's. Well, a cache of internal corporate documents said otherwise, going all the way back to 1950s, suggesting the public narrative they gave about their product and the corporate entities that were blabbing all that contradicts their own research and the knowledge they had about their own product. So it shows a corporate focus on strategies to even protect product sales, refute external scientific research, and influence regulators. Yep, yep. They were even going as far as to, get people kicked off panels that were making decisions on regulations on stuff like this. You know, that's where they go. What'd you say, Frank? The government, 89%. Frank's saying that this chemical is what the U.S. government, is that what you say? In the 1980s, they were spraying this? Well, okay. Bad, bad. Well, anyway, moving along in the quack report. Scientists call for a moratorium on 5G after a study shows regulators that they're ignoring the health risk of the radiation from this. We've kind of covered this a little bit before. Hit the archives if you missed it. But peer review study published this past Tuesday warns there's risks of exposure with the radiation from 5G technology. Research is showing the exposure limits for the wireless radiation, those test results are inadequate and outdated, and people will be harmed by, and wildlife will be harmed by this technology. This was the International Commission for Biological Effects in Electromagnetic Fields that did the study. It was published in the Environmental Health Journal. So they had this independent assessment of the dangers and impacts of the wireless radiation, and they have this campaign now to inform the public and all health authorities of the risks. And they said there needs to be an immediate moratorium and further research needs to be done. There's been a lot of studies, though, have been ignored on that. That's not the first one. Last but not least in the quack report, can dogs tell when you're stressed out? Frank, do you think so? I know my dogs can tell when I'm upset. Oh, yeah. They know when Mama is not happy. Mm-mm. So here's a study. This was Clara Wilson, researcher of the Animal Behavior Center at Queen's University in Belfast. Okay. She did the study. She wanted to answer the question, can dogs tell when you're stressed out? Yeah, when you're upset. They have a lot of olfactory nerves in their little button noses, dogs do. 100 to 300 million olfactory receptors in their snouts. Yep. We have 6 million in our little noses here. So they have 40 times, they're 40 times the sniffing power than we do. So they can be actually trained to detect, diseases in humans. They've done trained dogs for cancer. They can smell if you got cancer. They can even tell if someone's going to have an epileptic seizure. They can smell COVID infection now, just by sniffing samples, tissue samples, blood samples, things like that. And they were all kind of backed up, a lot of that research, with other studies, tests and studies to confirm. And so can dogs smell something as invisible as a psychological response, your distress, anxiety, panic, that kind of thing? So in this study that got published in September of this year at the Journal of Public Library of Science, Clara Wilson and her colleagues tested dogs to see if they can read or respond to emotional states that humans have without expressing tone, voice, or social context. So no body language, but yeah. So the researchers trained four dogs to try to detect and react and smell the smell of humans in distress. And depending on their sense of smell alone, distinguish between a person's baseline scent and any unique sense and volatile organic compounds that can be released. Because, you know, a lot of your emotions are chemicals, you know. And so when you're stressed out, apparently you smell different. Yep, yep. This is what they found. Results offered overwhelming confirmation. Dogs can smell your psychological distress. That's why, you know, when you're all upset, your dog wants to come comfort you and sit next to you and give you a kiss or two and wag his tail and try to make you happy. See? I knew that and I didn't have to spend any money to do it. They can smell stress. That's the end result of that research. Voila. And that wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Man, if they can smell stress, they can. America must smell very different now. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just think about it. In nature, animals know when there's going to be a catastrophic thing. You know, like storms, earthquake, volcanic activity. You know, they know. I mean, and aren't they, when you ever watch your pets, aren't they always sniffing the wind? What's in the wind? Yeah, so they can smell things 40 times greater sense of smell than us. Wow. I don't know if I would want a 40 time greater sense of smell. I probably wouldn't be able to take it. Nope. All right, let's talk about your brain. Yeah. So neurological disorders are worse today than ever before in history. Okay, so over 1 million Americans, or 31% of our general population, well, they suffer from a neurological condition, some form of it. So most neurological illnesses involve the brain and maybe your entire nervous system. Okay. So if we look at research in 2000, it tells us that in the general U.S. population that had neurological conditions was 0.6%. What could be pushing up these cases if it's 31% now? So, you know, think about that. That's a big jump. So what conditions are we talking about? Well, according to caregiver.org, the general statistics on a few of the neurological conditions would be things like multiple sclerosis, over 10,000 people, Parkinson's disease, 600,000, Alzheimer's, 250,000, epilepsy, 135,000, Tourette syndrome, 450,000, and autism, 7.2 million. Yeah, that's just a few. Now, there was a study in Pennsylvania. This was the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. Yeah, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They published research on the human blood-brain barrier. Okay. And it was interesting because their research included the impact vaccines have on our brains. I said, ooh. So more people are kind of wondering about the safety of vaccines lately, and the truthfulness of scientific research and the integrity of scientific professionals influencing healthcare policy. You can think of a few, right, that have been in the news a lot. Here's a quote from the research. This was done October 2020. Some people are concerned about the vaccine safety and wonder whether vaccines may enter the brain and cause neurological conditions. Well, I don't have to wonder about this. I already know. But many of you not sitting around reading medical journals and digging for this stuff like me. But blood-brain barrier, what is that? Well, scientific research has often reported that neurological side effects from vaccines is impossible due to the blood-brain barrier. That's what we've been told. Now, some people really did not believe such reports because, you know, your pain relievers, your antidepressants, they can pass through the barrier. And most biological drugs, such as insulin and Botox, they can pass through the barrier too. Other drugs that can easily go right through are arthritic drugs, psoriasis drugs, ulcerative colitis drugs, anti-inflammatory type drugs, leukemia drugs, ankylosing spondylosis drugs. If you don't know what that is, that's a bone disorder where your bones fuse together. Very painful. Ovarian and breast cancer drugs, chemotherapy drugs, multiple sclerosis drugs, and eye macular degeneration drugs. Well, I mean, I'm sure that list isn't complete. So what is the barrier, really? Well, the blood-brain barrier, we're told by science, is made up of tightly woven cells to prevent foreign substances from entering the brain. However, science has found a way for drugs to pass through this barrier and access the brain. So the drug interacts with the brain barrier cells, and the proteins in drugs act like a key in a lock to gain access to the brain. So proteins are switches in the cells, and they can open barriers to the cells. And science has been mastering protein switches for a while. Here's another quote from the report. It says, in this manner, cells of the blood-brain barrier act as a gate, limiting which substances gain access to the brain. So they know you can gain access. They just have to figure out which switch or protein unlocks the cell so they can slide right on in. Therefore, it is really possible to gain access to your brain if you have the key that fits the lock. So, and science has found that key. It's proteins. So science discovered that one of the elements that can pass through the blood-brain barrier is glucose. And other protein nutrients can pass through as well. So a Trojan horse of drugs really can gain access. And when the substances are there, they're not supposed to be there. Those things are not supposed to be there when they can gain access. So they cause lots of inflammation when substances enter that brain and they're not supposed to be there. So, and this is why a lot of inflammation occurs from some childhood combination vaccines, like your MMR and your DPT. They cause inflammation of the brain, encephalitis, and meningitis. So science discovered in breaching the blood-brain barrier that it's some pathogens can even damage the barrier and weaken it. So further, their drugs can further gain access. So what pathogens should we worry about that can damage our blood-brain barrier? Hey, Frank, you want to take a guess on one? Just come on. Give me a guess. Just one. Thinking hard. Yeah, what pathogens do you suppose could damage that barrier? Well, while he's thinking, I'll give you one. Influenza. Flu. And what do we get every year? Pressured to get a flu shot. On the list is also the pneumonia pathogen, meningitis or meningococcus pathogen, mumps is on the list, rubella, measles, there's your MMR shot. Measles are very dangerous to the brain and can even be fatal. And fungus. is on the list. And there's some other dangers, too, that we need to be aware of. Ingredients in your vaccines, such as your aluminum and your mercury, your heavy metals, can damage the brain, the BBB or the blood-brain barrier. So in October 2016, the National Library of Medicine published some research that the aluminum in your vaccines can cause toxicity to the brain barrier and alter its function. So aluminum can alter the function of this protection of the barrier. So guess what? Your adjuvants that they put in vaccines to supposedly improve the immune system's ability to produce antibodies, well, they're made from aluminum. However, science says not to worry. The human body can tolerate such metal toxicity. Oh, yeah, don't you worry about it. And they're saying any existing metal in the body from vaccines can be voided out through the kidneys, no problem at all. But autopsies of vaccinated children show the heavy metals leave the brain in 14 days and lodge in the bowel and the bones. They don't leave the body. They lodge. They stay there. So, however, science says 74% of the heavy metals exit the body in 2 weeks. Autopsies say otherwise. And science tells the public that vaccines will protect your brain and the blood-brain barrier when, in fact, the evidence is saying otherwise. So, do your homework on any treatment, therapy that is recommended to you. Really dig for it because your life could depend on it. You could become disabled by not doing your homework on something. And sorry to say, some people with the COVID shot have wound up in those tight situations. Sorry to say. So do your homework. Dr. Anthony Norris and I spoke in 1995. He was the former chief virologist of the FDA. We had a very interesting 10-minute conversation, and he told me that while he was a virologist for the FDA, he had access to all the raw data on the vaccine trials. Now, raw data now is just totally destroyed. The science doesn't want you ever to see it and doesn't want anybody else to see it, so they can manipulate the outcomes of their testing. But raw data speaks truth, and he said, your vaccines are not what people are told they are. I said, okay. He says, they're there to keep the medical infrastructure, the medical system, the machine, in a steady line of patients. So he was saying, your vaccines give you disease so that the drug companies and medicine will always have clients. And it's an artificial infection. So, if you get a vaccine in the muscle, your muscles have a lot of blood flow. So that's why they put them there. So then the serum is in the blood system in 2 hours. And it's such a fast process that you normally, could take 2 weeks before a body gets enough information about a pathogen invasion to make an antibody. That's the normal process. So let's say you touched a surface that was infected with a pathogen, a virus. Your skin has an immune system defense. It produces acids. And if it can't kill the virus, it'll go to the next blockade of defense. And if it passes that, it's designed, the pathogen's goal is to get to your blood system. Okay, so by the time you normally encounter a pathogen, the normal way, the immune system is getting chemical information from the body about this type of invader. So that by the time your incubation period of 10 to 14 days is up, you start to have symptoms. Because now you have a war going on. Your immune system has launched an antibody to destroy the disease. And that's why you feel yucky, see. So when you get an artificial infection through inoculations, it goes into the bloodstream in 2 hours. The immune system hasn't been notified. It doesn't know about it. It thinks it's supposed to be there. And you make no antibodies. I was shocked to hear that from Dr. Norris. I was a mother. I had three kids. I contacted him because my youngest had encephalitis from his 12-month shots. I didn't know anything then. I didn't know squat. So, fortunately, I got in touch with a naturopath and a master herbalist that helped my son recover without any residual side effects, which I'm thankful to God for. And that kind of put me on the path to becoming an herbalist because I saw herbs had this great potential, and they're like the world's best-kept secrets, so I wanted to learn more, so that's when I went to herb school. And that's why I'm here talking to you today, see. So, but Dr. Norris really opened my eyes to the vaccine issue because we got around to talking about the booster shots because he was saying if you get any antibody benefit from a shot, it's short-lived. And I said, oh, so that's why they give boosters. He goes, no. They give boosters because if they gave you all the serum in one dose, it would kill you. It's too toxic. Seriously. Could have knocked me over with a feather at that point. So I've always researched now. Everything medicine says is supposed to be good for me. Hmm? And I always find problems with it. You may get a drug therapy that will take care of your first complaint, but it'll give you another one. So that's why I really love the cleansing herbs because you can remove heavy metals and radioactive particles, pharmaceutical residues. And when you remove those types of toxins that can build up in the system, the body can function better and regenerate faster. Cleanse and nurse. Take out the toxins, put the nutrition in. Watch miracles happen. You know, God's miracles. So we just got to be mindful of what we're putting in the body. Everything matters. For real, everything matters. So anyway, so if you want to learn more, contact the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have some great newsletters that go out each week, Tuesdays and Fridays, and you'll get – and they're free, and you'll get great information on natural therapies there. Just go to thepowerherbs.com. You click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free there. It's only delivered by email. Also, you can give them a call and get their free product catalog. They are the experts in organ cleansing, immune boosting, and metabolic strengthening. So, want to see how powerful you can be? Try God's medicine. He promises it's here for your healing and wellness, and he can't lie. Apothecary Herbs number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And, yeah, if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs, professional strength formulations. This is what a practitioner would sell you. You don't find this in stores. And I can see by the clock we're out of time for this segment. We're going to take a break and be right back with more.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone
prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
All righty, we're back here on Herb Talk. Thank you, Frank. Bouncy music, he makes me happy. All right, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about some digestive health now because, you know, we're coming up soon, real soon. I mean, in a month, it's Thanksgiving, Frank. Can you believe it? Oh, and all the feasting begins. So we're going to talk about digestion, acid reflux, things like that, how we can avoid some of those awful situations and mess up our holidays. You know, we just don't enjoy our holidays and visiting if we got a lot of digestive problems and upset. So let's talk about that because there's natural solutions for it. And also we have to exercise, being proactive on some things we might want to avoid. So Healthline.com actually had some advice. This was Dr. George Krukic of San Francisco. So he says in the United States, 60% of the population has some sort of digestive health problem. And that includes your acid reflux or GERD. And GERD is your gastroesophageal reflux disease. That's what it means. So this is a Well, there's 7 million people. This is a problem. Doctors are reporting a risk of developing these conditions is higher if we're overweight or obese, and patients usually follow a lot of their doctor's advice, and the doctor manages the symptoms with a lot of medications, but really doesn't cure the problem. So why are so many people experiencing acid reflux and other digestive issues? So I thought we'd kind of touch base on this one more time because we're coming up to a festive holiday season and you want to enjoy yourself. Some of the statistics, it's not just adults that are experiencing these types of problems. It's becoming more common for these digestive issues to affect infants and children. 42% of infants have digestive problems and 84% of children have them. So the elderly also, they don't escape this problem. 27% of them have digestive health problems. So these statistics are showing that between 1998 and, let's say, 2005, when a lot of studies were done, the number of hospitalizations increased for digestive illnesses by 216%. And health reports are saying over 1,100 deaths occur annually due to digestive health problems. Here's a quote from, this is Dr. Dean Sheehan, American Academy of Family Physicians, who says, "I see people daily who are treated for GERD. It may not be why they are there in my clinic, but I am definitely seeing them every day." So they may be coming into his clinic for something else, but on top of something else, they have the gastroesophageal reflux issue. So what are the symptoms? Well, nearly everyone will experience a little indigestion or heartburn from time to time, and most often it accompanies overeating or eating types of foods we don't normally eat. Ever have that happen, especially as you get older? You can't tolerate certain things that you maybe ate when you were younger, right? And for this reason, people will reach for, you know, their over-the-counter digestive aids during especially holiday season. And with acid reflux, it's a recurring problem. And this condition really shouldn't be swept under the rug. You really have to address it. And using a bunch of antacids isn't going to fix it. So a bunch of things can happen when you take antacids. Antacids can give you other health problems. For instance, abdominal pain, respiratory problems like breathing problems, tooth erosion and bad breath and dry mouth from antacids, damage to the esophagus and problems swallowing, nausea and vomiting, as well as spasms of the digestive tract, chest tightness, hoarseness, feeling food is stuck in your throat, tightness and wheezing and asthma from antacids. Or antacids can exacerbate a lot of that. So, you don't want antacids if you got colitis either. Oh. So what are some of the reported problems or causes for this, according to science? Well, doctors tell their patients that acid reflux is a symptom of overeating and being overweight. And this, they say, puts pressure on the stomach, and it can push undigested food up into the esophagus, and other conditions such as pregnancy can also offer the same type of situation, causing the heartburn and discomfort. And additionally, wearing clothing that's too tight around the waist, or smoking, or breathing in secondhand smoke, or having a hiatal hernia is said to be causes of these conditions. But there are some trigger foods that aren't going to help you out any. Gastroenterologists will caution their patients, you know, avoid the foods and beverages that can trigger your condition and make it worse. Things like fried foods, citrus, chocolate. Chocolate has a chemical in it, natural chemical, that will anesthetize the sphincter muscle that's at the end of the esophagus and at the top of the stomach. So when you eat food, that muscle closes and your stomach starts digesting the food with all the acids. And but when you have chocolate can make that muscle like a little lazy, like it's had an anesthetic, and it can pop open, and all of a sudden all those acids and stuff start slopping up into the bottom of the esophagus and giving you that discomfort. So holiday season, lots of chocolate. So let's just go it alone with no chocolate, and you'll be fine. Also, coffee and tea can also be a problem, so you want to watch that. And also on the list is beer and wine. Beer will double the production of your stomach acids, so be aware. Soda, alcohol, you know, mixed drinks, cabbage, mayonnaise, right? Milk products, cow's milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream, salty foods or processed salt, a lot of foods with processed salt, and preservatives that are in the smoked meats. Want to be careful. Want to be very careful there. If you're going to have wine this holiday season, don't have red wine. It has more acids in it. Have white. And you know what I do is a little trick, is my little trick. If you can't tolerate the acids very well in the wine, I take a gelatin. You can get it in the baking aisle. And you get the little gelatin packets. It's a powder. And you take a quarter teaspoon, and you dissolve it in hot water. A few ounces of hot water. Okay. And then you pour your glass of wine, and then you add several tablespoons of that liquid with the gelatin in it, and it neutralizes some of the acids in the wine. It works really great on white wines. Red wines, you got more acids, so it won't remove the acids as well. It kind of sucks those tannic acids out of the wine and into the bottom of your goblet. So I do the same thing with tea. You know, tannic acids in tea, I'll use the gelatin trick once in a while. So anyway, I'm a big tea person, but my eyes don't like tea too much, so it bothers my eyes. So I have to watch how much tea that I have. So that's my little, you know, gelatin trick for you there. Happy holidays. But, you know, seriously, if you got real bad digestive issues, you want to skip the wine altogether and the tea. So if you got these problems, you're going to be thrown through a gamut of medical treatments. Your digestive problems, you're going to spend quite a bit of money. Actually, overall, with people in America with digestive problems, they spend about $33 billion a year at healthcare. Patients who seek medical treatments may have to pay for upper or lower GI x-rays, a series of x-rays, where you kind of drink this barium solution to reveal any digestive problems in the study. Other studies are an endoscopy, which is a fiber optic tube they insert down your throat and with possible biopsy of a tissue if they see something weird. They have esophageal acid level monitoring and a lot of measurements there they can measure swallowing reflex, and the drug therapy usually follows after the study. So an endoscopy itself can cost about $800 with insurance. Here's a quote. This is from Dr. Nicholas Sheehan. He is director of the Center for Esophageal Disease, University of North Carolina, School of Medicine, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He says, the literature shows that 10 to 40% of upper endoscopies performed for GI concerns do not conform to clinical guidelines. Whoa. He says there is scant evidence to support the use of endoscopy in digestive diseases like GERD. What? Well, they want to sell you a test. He's saying it's not going to really help you any. Why spend the money and go through the process of it? Now the drugs come. Doctors will prescribe drugs if the over-the-counter antacids, the proton pump inhibitors, and the pain relievers aren't working. So the proton pump inhibitors also cause a lot of dependency and offer a lot of serious side effects, a lot of withdrawal or rebound problems if you try to get off of the proton pump inhibitor drugs. So doctors will use drugs like antibiotics to clear bacteria causing digestive issues and may also prescribe drugs like sucralfate, which it coats the esophagus and stomach with this film. And the side effects are going to be headache, dizziness, insomnia, diarrhea, vomiting, gas, feeling like your stomach is always full, stomach pain after you eat, and difficulty swallowing. Boy, I don't think that's helping any. They said the drug offers serious allergic reactions, rash, itching, swelling of the face, throat, tongue, and trouble breathing. And the drug does not interact well with antibiotics, antacids, tetracycline, and thyroid meds. Oh, I think I'd stay away from that one. The other drug they prescribe is metoclopramide, a drug used to control the esophagus contractions and moving food out of the stomach faster. I don't think I would mess with this. Because your esophagus, if you notice, you ever get food stuck, Frank, in your esophagus and you feel like, oh, you know, and you don't want to eat more and you don't want to drink more. It seems like it's stuck. But your esophagus has little muscles that move food and you have to wait for that to kick in and then it slowly goes down and then you finally get the relief, right? Kind of scary sometimes when it's stuck, you know. But you don't want to mess. I don't think I would want to mess with a drug that messes with those esophageal contractions. Huh. But anyway, the effects of this drug are dizziness, drowsiness, tiredness, insomnia, agitation, headache, and diarrhea. Some of the serious side effects are mood changes, anxiety, confusion, depression, suicidal thoughts, decreased sexual function, unable to be still, pacing, muscle spasms, uncontrollable muscle movements, shaking, difficulty walking, flat facial expression. Now, that's creepy. You want to look like a mannequin? That's what that means. Abnormal breast milk production. Does that mean on a guy? If a guy takes this drug? How about enlarged and tender breasts, swelling of hands and feet, changes to your menstruation flow if you're a female, and the drug does not interact well with antipsychotic meds. Well, like, that's not a surprise. So they other also things they also prescribe are your anti-inflammatory drugs. They usually prescribed these for a lot of the antacid reflux, it inflames the tissues, so they prescribe your anti-inflammatory drugs, sometimes even steroids. All right, so what are the over-the-counter drugs that you may be able to grab? What do they do? What are the side effects of them? Well, long-term use of drugs like that to control your symptoms of digestive disease is going to offer side effects. And most people using antacids can experience diarrhea, constipation, because it's the aluminum in it and the magnesium salt in that product, calcium carbonates in there, and it can, you know, like your Tums has the calcium carbonate in it, and it can cause a lot of constipation. And in some cases, there is too much calcium, and it can cause kidney failure. Not good. Now, over-the-counter and prescribed digestion medications change the way your body breaks down and uses nutrients like your calcium, and it should not be consistently used for more than 3 weeks. But people are on this stuff for years. Would you say, Frank? Did you say something, Frank? Sanity does not interact well with the psychotics. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. So antacids, they also interfere with the absorption of other prescription meds that you may be, and maybe you're on heart meds. Other popular drugs like your Tagamet and your Zantac, they tend to produce headaches, diarrhea, dizziness, and rashes. And if you suffer from liver or nervous system disease, these conditions will be exacerbated and the side effects of the drugs will be exacerbated. So long-term use of these drugs, any of these types of drugs, is going to offer you some risk and even stomach cancer. So any drug for heartburn or acid reflux should be used in a short burst, or no longer than 6 weeks, while you adjust your lifestyle and fix what the problem is. Otherwise, you're going to have, you're going to be switched from drug to drug, and you're going to have more severe digestive disease as you go along. So do your homework on your over-the-counter and your prescription meds for digestive issues like this. Okay. Also, here's some drugs that would make your acid reflux worse. These drugs will relax the esophageal sphincter muscle that we talked about earlier. And things like calcium channel blockers, dopamine, sedatives, and pain relievers. So drugs that delay the stomach from emptying into the small intestine are going to be your calcium channel blockers, which, you know, not good. And drugs that can also damage the esophagus and the stomach lining are your Fosamax for osteoporosis and your potassium and iron pills, antibiotics, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory aids, aspirin, ibuprofen, Motrin, Advil, Nuprin, and Aleve. Not good. Not good, not good. But you're probably popping them because you feel bad. So what about the acid? Well, if doctors are telling patients to use antacids and proton pump inhibitors, it suggests the digestive tract is creating too much acid. And if the body is creating too much acid, ask yourself, why is that? So it suggests that there's too much alkalinity in the system, and it's wanting to balance it. According to Dr. Joseph Mercola, he reports that acid reflux is not from too much acid, but from hiatal hernia, where the acid leaves the stomach and goes where it shouldn't. So we look at the sphincter muscle, and it closes off the esophagus from the stomach, and if the muscle is lazy, it's not going to completely close. So the heartburn is a symptom of acid reflux, and the condition can be brought on by several things, including overeating or eating a heavy meal. How about bending over or lifting something? And how about lying down before the food is at its time to leave the stomach and go to the small intestine? Some people are late eaters. You know, how many of you like, well, I'm going to have a midnight snack. I got my pajamas on and my little fuzzy slippers, and I'm going down to the kitchen. I'm going to have me a chocolate chip cookie and, you know, one chocolate chip cookie. Remember that chocolate chemical? That'll keep you up all night. I mean, if you had a brownie, forget it. You're not going to sleep. So be mindful of these. So a harmless piece of chocolate can trigger heartburn, and some foods create this chemical mechanism that encourages heartburn. Chocolate is one of them. So if you have to eat some chocolate, fudge brownie, a chocolate chip cookie, the chocolate is going to, it acts like an antispasmodic or a tranquilizer on the sphincter muscle. And the culprit chemical in your chocolate is called methyloxathine. And apparently chocolate does not provoke the acid backwash in individuals that do not or rarely experience heartburn, but it's really a problem for them that have continuous cases of heartburn and reflux. So if you're in that category of moderate to severe heartburn and acid reflux, chocolate is off limits. How many doctors have told you that? I don't know. So what is causing your acid imbalance? Well, most people who develop an acid imbalance is because they are probably eating too much cooked food, too much convenience, or overly processed foods, which creates more alkalinity in the system. So, and you're probably eating too much dairy, cow's milk products, and that would include cheese, which one slice of cheese is 4 glasses of milk, or 8 glasses of milk, really, depending on the slice, the size. So you want to watch what you're doing. It's also, if you're eating a lot of salt-free diet stuff, using a lot of processed salt, so both are bad, instead of using an unprocessed sun-dried salt with your minerals in it still. So you want the minerals. A lot of imbalance in the metabolic area can be a mineral, mineral deprivation, a mineral lack. So use your sun-dried salt. It has 84 microminerals. It doesn't create hypertension. The salt also helps produce some hydrochloric acid in the stomach and in the small intestine, and you'll digest your food better, more protein removal, et cetera. Eating smaller food portions, avoiding food triggers that we talked about, eat more fresh fruits and vegetables. Typically, that'll go a long way at rebalancing that acid problem. So the acid problem, if it's severe, you might want to add some Bragg's apple cider vinegar to each meal. It improves your digestion. The acids help. See, when you have the acids from natural sources into the system, the pumps don't want to come on because you already have some acids, see, right? And you've lowered your alkalinity-type foods, so they're not going to come on. Try not to dilute the vinegar. Try to kind of sip on it at full strength as you eat. And some of the things that I like to use for digestive health, some of the herbs that I like to take with, especially if I'm going to travel, I like to take fennel seed because it reduces gas and bloating. Very helpful. Ginger root, it also reduces nausea and vomiting issues. Slippery elm is going to stop diarrhea really quickly. And I like also, especially during holiday meals where you're eating more than you normally do because, you know, everybody brings something and you don't want to insult anybody, so you scoop it on, put it on your plate. Gentian root, use that a half hour before you sit down to eat and you will not overeat, okay? It reduces overeating, it stops stomach aches, and it moves food out of the stomach into the small intestine faster. So you avoid that reflux issue. Willow bark and meadow sweet I like for my anti-inflammatory pain-lifting element. Marshmallow root's good for soothing the digestive tract if it's angry and inflamed. Lobelia herb will stop digestive spasms in a skinny minute, so you don't have that problem. And fenugreek, it's a good digestive aid, and it's good if you have ulcers. So those are wonderful things to incorporate, especially this year, if you've had problems down the road. And avoid those food triggers, and you should be able to balance it out, and you don't have to be on drug therapy the rest of your life. Be well out there. Have a good time this holiday season. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have all those digestive herbs if you want to grab some of those. I like the gentian root for holidays because, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach kind of thing. All right, give them a call at 866-229-3663 at Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, or visit them at thepowerherbs.com. Get their free online catalog. You can download it or ask for a hard copy to be mailed to you, and obviously sign up for the free online newsletters, and be well. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not designed to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.